You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Abba, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's first reading is the last, but likely Paul's foremost concern in his masterful letter to the Ephesians. Given the nature of ancient rhetoric and letter writing, we should assume that this climactic word that Paul wants us to hear is important. He puts it right at this emphatic place. Ephesians, as a whole, I think, is a brilliant letter in which Paul offers a mature and well-crafted summary of God's story and how that story reshapes every part of our stories. All throughout this wonderful letter, Paul has been concerned that believers be attentive to power and the powers that swirl around them day by day. Importantly, the superpower over all things in heaven and on earth is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, he writes, is the promised seal, the signet, and first installment of our future glorious inheritance awaiting us. The Spirit is also the firm testimony that we already share in Christ's resurrection triumph. Even though this is bedrock truth, Paul also knows that we continue to live in an arena of conflict. And this is why he ends with these basic imperatives for believers. Be strong in the Lord so that you may stand up to everything the devil throws at you. And take up all of God's armor offered to you so that when the day of evil comes, you'll still be on your feet. Evil exists. Paul believes this and wants believers to understand this too. This evil is personal. Paul and the Lord himself believed in a personal devil. Paul instructs believers to be alert to the devil's methods. Sometimes the devil and his evil powers, though, want us to forget that he exists. For as Baudelaire wrote, the devil's first trick is to convince us that he doesn't exist. We need deliverance from evil that, frankly, doesn't always look like evil, but often comes to us through the lies of propaganda and manipulation. Unlike the evil one, Jesus never schemes or deceives. In contrast to the spiritual forces of evil, the Spirit does not lie or coerce. Jesus is personal and true. The Spirit is good and right. Of course, these are some people maybe that I grew up with. On the other extreme, it could be people who could be overly enamored with the spiritual forces of evil. So, in whatever malevolent method the devil tends to use on you, the Spirit's word is simple and clear. Be strong in the Lord and take up the armor of God and stand firm. How do we stand firm in the face of evil? Paul reminds us of the gospel gifts we have received, and keeping up the battle imagery, he draws on the metaphor of armor. And here, he borrows the words of Isaiah, which the prophet used to describe the armor worn by the messianic king. Paul lists six items: truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God. None of these are meant to be simply abstract ideas. They only have meaning and existence when they are incarnate, when they are lived. Jesus shows us the way. He wraps the truth in flesh. Or as Paul wrote a little bit earlier in Ephesians, the truth is in Jesus. As his body, God's new humanity on earth, we put on and embody the attributes of Christ as our own. This armor is given to us by King Jesus, and it is a key dimension of the gospel. Truth, righteousness, peace, etc. are not simply ideas we learn, but a person we encounter. It seems to me that despite the militaristic language that Paul is using in the context of evil that he is describing, we're being alerted to this reality with the calm, in a rather matter-of-fact tone. Now, I am new to your country, but apparently I've learned this, that a certain sport season is about to be kicked off soon. I've heard it's one that gets people a little bit excited and focused. There might even be loud cheers from fans and the occasional vigorous rah-rah speech given by coaches. But Jailbird Paul, alert to evil and focused on the gospel, is not overly excited by the season he's in. He calmly and carefully reminds believers of the gospel gifts they've received. These gifts act like armor to protect their head, their thinking, their heart, their affections. And these gifts are given to every follower of King Jesus. This armor of God reminds me of the gifts that are given to the Pevensey children as they entered into Narnia from Father Christmas. Gifts of shield and sword, bow and arrow, trumpet and dagger. These are your presents, said Father Christmas, and they are tools, not toys. For the most part, the tools we're given by God are defensive in nature, but the last piece of armor Paul lists is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, a tool for offense. The Word of God is equivalent to the gospel, spoken and inspired by the Spirit. And this sword for Paul is not a book, but the proclamation of Christ, which, of course, in our case, does indeed can be found in a book. The Word of God, the Spirit's sword, is the faithful speaking forth of the gospel in the arena of darkness, so that people like you and me might hear and be delivered from the devil's schemes. Martin Luther, attuned to the reality of evil and the greater reality of the powerful, Spirit-filled Word of God, penned a great hymn familiar to many of us, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," hymn 687. I think it catches the sense of Ephesians well, especially in this verse. Listen to it. And though this world, with devils filled, should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. The mention of the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6 evokes a final concern in this passage and in the entire letter for that matter. And this is it. Believers, pray in the Spirit. All throughout Ephesians, Paul understands the Spirit to play a crucial role in bringing the gospel truth to broken and enslaved people so that they might know God's freedom and healing in embodied and in living ways. Now, I know many of you are familiar with the significant gift that is the family Zoll. Long before I ever heard of the connection that the Advent had with the Zolls, I was reading books and articles by Paul and David and Simeon. I should do it more, but I don't often listen to podcasts, but I've been listening to the excellent podcast featuring all three sons of Paul and Mary, the brothers Zoll. Well, I was traveling back from Canada to Alabama earlier this week. I listened to a recent episode of theirs on the Holy Spirit. In fact, even rarer for me, I listened to it twice. And if you can, I encourage you to listen to it too. In their winsome conversation, they speak to the lived reality of the Spirit in ways that, for me at least, evoke the themes of Ephesians. For Paul, that is the Apostle Paul, but maybe the other one too, no less than for John and David and Simeon and for you and me, the Spirit is the key to walking worthy of our calling to which we've been called. Or as Simeon so put it so well, the Holy Spirit makes doctrines into realities. The Spirit's power is not just for those who call themselves Pentecostal or charismatic or who take the Alpha course. When I was growing up, sometimes I heard Christians ask some really strange and frankly stupid questions. For example, when were you saved? I like that one. Or this one, are you a Spirit-filled Christian? Spirit-filled Christian. I mean, this should sound to our ears as absurd as asking my tall and formerly blonde Viking wife, Darlene Israelson, are you a Scandinavian Swede? The point is this. The Spirit is what makes us Christian. That is the sine qua non reality of what constitutes a Christian. The Spirit inspires the Word of God through humans, which is then proclaimed to others. The Spirit inspires prayerful speech through humans that is directed to God. It should come as no surprise to anyone who has read and listened carefully to Ephesians to hear that we should be praying at all times in the Spirit, something that for Paul is especially, but not exclusively, praying in tongues. My late friend and father in the faith, Gordon Fee, adds this: praying in the Spirit, however that is understood, is also God's provision for his people in another area of weakness, in the ongoing struggle against the principalities and powers. Besides the defensive armor provided by the gospel, Paul urges the believers to use their two spirit weapons as they engage the enemy. The message of the gospel penetrating the enemy's territory and rescuing people who are captive to him, and praying in the Spirit. He continues, here in particular, the Spirit is our true friend and aid. Precisely because we do not know how to pray as we ought, we need to lean more heavily on praying in the Spirit to carry on such spiritual warfare more effectively. Prayer, therefore, is not simply our cry of desperation or our grocery list of requests that we bring before our heavenly Abba. Prayer is an activity inspired by God himself through his Holy Spirit. It is God siding with his people and by his own empowering presence, the Spirit of God himself, bringing forth prayer that is in keeping with his will and his ways. So then, finally, my new friends, and more truly, my brothers and sisters in Christ here at the Advent, know this: God is strong, and he wants you to be strong in the Lord, his Son, Jesus Christ. Take everything that King Jesus gives you, armor and weapons of the best materials. Pray long and hard, and do so empowered by the Spirit. And pray for one another so that no one falls behind along the way. And when you can, pray for me too, sinner that I am. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.